Radio Prague News.
Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer has said the Lisbon Treaty should be ratified by the end of the year, in spite of President Klaus's new demands. The Civic Democrats have said President Klaus's call for a Lisbon Treaty exemption could be dealt with in a follow-up agreement. And the Czech Republic is bracing itself for a crunch World Cup qualifier against Poland. Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer has said the government is willing to discuss President Václav Klaus's demand for an exemption from the EU's reforming Lisbon Treaty. But he insisted the ratification process could not be reopened and the treaty should be signed by the end of the year. The Czech president and opponent of further steps towards European integration called on Friday for the Czech Republic to be given guarantees that the treaty could not be used by Germans expelled from Czechoslovakia after World War II to reclaim their property. Prime Minister Fischer said he did not share President Klaus's fears about a threat to the so-called Beneš decrees, which paved the way for the Sudeten Germans' expulsion. He added that the government had not been consulted about the president's last-minute condition. The Czech Republic is the last country to ratify the Lisbon Treaty after Polish President Lech Kaczynski went ahead with a step on Saturday. The treaty is due to take effect at the start of 2010, when all 27 EU states have completed ratification. In other reactions, Civic Democrat leaders have suggested that President Klaus's demands could be dealt with after the Lisbon Treaty comes into effect. The party said in a statement that the guarantees he is seeking could be given when an agreement is sealed with Croatia on its entry into the European Union. Such guarantees would have the character of a clarification of the treaty and not an amendment, which would require fresh clearance from national parliaments and heads of state. Clarifications were used to give the Irish guarantees about their tax system and neutrality. Meanwhile, the Social Democrats said they had certain understanding for the President Klaus's demands, but Christian Democrat leader Cyril Svoboda attacked his stand, describing it as obstruction based on the opinion of one man, which flew in the face of Parliament's wishes. The Greens have suggested that President Klaus has overstepped the mark and his removal should be considered. Czech police have launched massive preparations for the influx of Polish football supporters for a key World Cup qualification game in Prague on Saturday night. Recent violent clashes at away matches have earned Polish fans a reputation as being amongst the worst in Europe. Around 4,000 Poles are expected for the match. Czech police have doubled normal security for such matches, with 800 stewards and 1,000 police called up in Prague. A special anti-conflict squad will also be on standby. The Czechs must beat Poland on Saturday night to keep their hopes of qualification for the 2010 World Cup alive. As well as a victory in Prague, the Czechs must also hope that table-topping Slovakia beats Slovenia. Even with a win on Saturday, the Czechs still have to clinch qualification for South Africa with a victory in their last game against Northern Ireland on Wednesday. The weather, cloudy weather and occasional showers look to be set in place for the next few days. Maximum temperatures should not rise above 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston and that was the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, we'll have Magazine, our compendium of the week's weird and wonderful events that picks up where the news leaves off. We'll also have this weekend's edition of Soundcheck for you, a window into the Czech language through song lyrics. And coming up later on, One-on-One, in which Jan Wellinger speaks with golf personality Alan Babitsky. But first, here's this week's magazine, brought to you, as always, by Daniela Lazarova.
One of the most notorious photographs symbolizing the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe relates to the German exodus via the Czech Republic. It shows a man halfway up the fence of the West German embassy in Prague, desperately trying to climb over to safety as a Czechoslovak policeman tries to pull him back down. The man who eventually scrambled to safety was Michael Fleischmann, and this summer Mr. Fleischmann expressed the wish to meet with the officer in question, shake hands with him, and ask how he feels about the incident 20 years after. Finding him was not an easy task, but with the help of the Prague Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes, journalists from the internet news site Aktualnie.cz managed to trace the man. Allegedly, he is now 47 and still works in the police force. However, much to Mr. Fleischmann's disappointment, he has no interest in meeting with him. Michael Fleischmann says he understands and accepts that decision, adding, "I had no intention of making him feel bad. We were both affected by the same kind of regime. He was just doing his job." A secondary school graduate from the Czech Republic has got herself into big trouble for a rather original school-leaving tableau that she made. Instead of just using a group photo, the girl scanned 200 crown banknotes, replacing the picture of Jan Amos Komenský, the teacher of nations, with pictures of her classmates. She made dozens of banknotes and scattered them around the school building as a joke. Well, to her amazement, passers-by not only collected the notes, but actually used them in shops where most unexpectedly salespeople failed to recognize them as fakes. The girl is now accused of producing counterfeit cash and is doing her best to convince the police that it was all just a joke. Most people are packing away their bathing suits, but members of the Czech Club of Hardy Men and Women are looking forward to a season of winter swimming. Over 160 swimmers from the Czech Republic, Poland, Germany and Great Britain, the youngest just 8 years old, the oldest 96, took a dip in one of the lakes of the Moravský Kras caves, where the temperature of the water was just 9 degrees Celsius, lukewarm by their standards. The Club for Hardy Men and Women has an 81-year-old tradition, and it has organized autumn and winter swims since 1948. The most publicized are those that take place on the first day of the new year, when members of the club take a swim in the cold Vltava River. The Masaryk University in Brno has put together the country's first blind football team, a game that is specific in that the football contains ball bearings so that it makes a noise when it moves and the crowd must remain silent so the players can hear the ball. The team has 9 enthusiastic players and lots of fans. Their only problem is that they have no one to play against in the Czech Republic. They recently attended a tournament in Great Britain and, to their great disappointment, found that rival teams were far more advanced because they had lots more practice. Now they're hoping that some other Czech university will set up a rival team to give them the needed boost. Cows have horns. Many people are unaware of the fact that not only bulls, but also female cows do have horns. The horns of either sex may curve up, down, or grow sideways. However, it is a common practice in most European states to remove the horns of cows for fear that the animals would attack and bruise each other. The horns are usually burned off under local anesthetic using heat or a chemical as soon as they start to bud, that is, not long after the calf are born. Now, a farm in Zvikov, southern Bohemia, has decided to break with this practice on the grounds of an international study that suggests that cows with horns give higher quality milk than cows which have had them removed. The farm has said it would discontinue the practice and simply take precautions to avoid cows attacking and hurting each other. Other farms are disbelieving and say they're not ready to take the risk. Bruised meat would pay less on the market, but it may be that farmers in Zvikov may establish a new trend, and in a few more years, even kids will be able to tell you that, yes, of course, cows have horns. The town of Belhrimov has a new attraction, a statue made entirely out of sugar by a Czech art student, which has been located out in the open. Student Jan Trebal says that it was his intention to create an art piece that would undergo a series of transformations before disappearing altogether. The statue is over 70 centimeters tall and weighs just over 50 kilos. Very few of the visitors who come to see it actually see the same thing, since the statue gradually melts with every rain shower. It is expected to remain there in one form or another for a number of weeks and possibly months, depending on the weather.
Daniela Lazarova there with Magazine. Moving on now to our weekly soundcheck program, where the Czech language meets the language of music.
Býval jsem chudý jak kostelní myš, na půdě půdy se mýval svou skrýš. Pak jednou v létě řekl jsem si pať, svět facku je tě a tak mu toho vrať.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck Radio Prague's language series, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today we are going to listen to a song by Jaromír Nohavica called Jdou po mně jdou, or They Are After Me, which is packed with interesting idioms.
Býval jsem chudý jak kostelní myš, na půdě půdy se mýval svou skrýš.
The song begins with the phrase býval jsem chudý jak kostelní myš. I used to be as poor as a church mouse. In other words, the hero of the song used to be very poor, but one day he decided to change his life and rob the national bank. Subsequently, he found himself on the run. Why? Because he didn't want to end up at a prison cell in Sing Sing, which he says is as dark as a sack. Je tam tma jako v pytli, meaning of course that it is pitch dark.
Jdou po mně, jdou, na každým rohu mají fotku mou. Kdyby mě chytli, jo, byl by ring. Tma jako v pytli je v celách Sing Sing, yeah.
Life improves for our hero when he settles down with a widow in Iowa. When he runs out of money, however, she tells him to pack his stuff and go. Literally, to pack up his plums. Zbal svých pár švestek. Why plums and not some other type of fruit, that is not really clear to me, but the phrase zbal svých pár švestek suggests his belongings are rather small.
Však půl roku na to řekla mi dost. Tobě došlo zlato, měl trpělivost. Zbal svých pár švestek a běž si kam chceš. Tak jsem na cestě a chudí jak veš. Zbal svých pár švestek a běž si kam.
Being a common fruit in our region, plums appear in a number of other Czech phrases. To catch someone gathering plums, nachytat někoho na švestkách, means to catch someone in the act of committing something wrong, to catch someone with his trousers down. The Czechs also say to nevydrží do švestek, it won't last until the plums, when they expect something to be short-lived. In other words, it won't last till the plums are ripe.
Teď ve státě Utah žiju s pokojem, pípu jsem utáh a straním se žen.
kladou mi pasti a do pastí špek. Já na ně mastím, jen ať mají vztek. Kladou mi pasti a do pastí špek. Já na ně mastím, jen ať mají vztek.
And what happens to our hero? He ends up in Utah and decides to stay away from women. Being under a woman's thumb, or as we say, pod pantoflí, which means under the slipper, would be even worse than ending up in Sing Sing. And that's all we have time for in this edition of Soundcheck. Thanks for listening and naschledanou.
Jdou po mně, jdou. Na každém rohu mají fotku mou. Kdyby mě chytli, jo, byl by ring. Tma jako v pytli je v celách Sing Sing. Yeah, yeah.
Many thanks to Ruth Franková. For those of you who may just be tuning in, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Christian Falvey. Bringing our program to a close today, one-on-one, Jan Wellinger sits down with golf pro and promoter Alan Babický.
This week, my guest in one-on-one is the Czech golf pro Alan Babický. A skilled businessman, but also a former dancer, choreographer, and downhill skier, Babický picked up the sport of golf only at the age of 28. But within 10 years, he had built up a solid reputation. He even won the World Golfers Championship in Thailand in 2004, one of the most prestigious competitions for amateur players. Well, recently I caught up with Alan Babický to discuss his career. I first asked how much he knew about golf the first time he ever played.
Absolutely nothing. Zippo, as they say in the States. Today, if you invite somebody to come to golf course or play golf, they know at least a little bit. They know Tiger Woods, maybe. They know 18 holes. I didn't know any of that.
And how was it that you came to be on this golf course?
Well, I worked as a marketing manager for Pepsi. And we agreed to sign the contract with Karlstein, 1994, I think it was. And they were opening the back nine in September. And I was there in October to sign the contract. And obviously, as you know, all golf enthusiasts, they forced me to try it. So that's how I pick up golf.
Now, was it in this first game or was it in games that followed that you sort of caught the spark, that you realized, hey, this is a sport that I really like?
Well, it's close to the situation when you say good deeds for bad reasons. You know, I didn't know what to enjoy about it. I just didn't feel anything except one little thing, that it worked well. Somehow I found something which immediately worked. You know, like I never missed the golf ball in a normal situation. I did miss it in like, you know, deep rough with open love wedge 6 years later, but the first lesson I had, I didn't miss a golf ball, and I never shot over 100. There was something that worked.
Sports, of course, were nothing new to you. You did dance and choreography. You were also a semi-pro skier.
Probably the dance was the better part of sort of, you know, being able to hit the first shots decent and copy the movement of the pro and remember the rhythm and a couple of other things maybe as well, because when somebody tells you, you know, keep your shoulder, I don't know, up or high or anything, or your elbow, if you're not a dancer, it's something new to you.
How long did it take for you to advance your game?
Well, the only thing I remember really was that I spent from the first day, which was something like mid-October, I spent almost every night at the indoor facility, which back then was at Strahov. That facility was closed in January, and at the same time, the Erpet Golf Indoor Facility was open in 1995. It was on the way from my office to home, So I spent every night practicing there. In April, I think it was, I played my first tournament in Karlsbad, in Karlovy Vary, and I shot something like 95. That was the first sort of competitive experience.
And all of this intensive practice was taking place while you were holding a regular day job.
Yeah, of course. It was the same thing until 2004, November, when it was, back then it was a 10th sort of anniversary of hitting the first golf ball, and I happened to win a worldwide tournament which is called World Golfers Championships, which is organized by the Swedish ice hockey player Tomba Johansson. And it's like the equivalent of the World Championships, but with your handicaps. So you play in categories, and your result depends on your game, obviously, but also they deduct handicaps. And I happened to win it. So and that was the reason I decided that I want to go entrepreneur and establish the company that I'm co-owning and working for now. But until then, so it was long 10 years of being a manager of a company, working 10 hours a day and then practicing at night.
Tell me a little bit about the culture of golf in the Czech Republic. Obviously, during the communist years, it wasn't something that had any kind of tradition here, but there was a tradition before the 1948 putsch, wasn't there?
There's a beautiful book called Golf in the Czech Republic, from which I know that Czech Republic was the only country in the old communist bloc which had a little bit of golf surviving the socialistic era. We had, I think, three courses here, and something like 1,800 players when I started. In 1994, there was less than 2,000 players and something like five courses. And since then, the golf has grown. Czech Republic has become the fastest growing golf country in the world now. It's the official result of some studies. And now we have over 40,000 players, over 80 courses, and something like 126 clubs. It's been a big boom. The culture, obviously, when you have such a big growth, there is some, as we call them in Czech, child illnesses. Sometimes the growth is too fast. Sometimes the people get the certificates too early. Sometimes the promoters, in order to satisfy the client, don't respect the golf traditions. But overall, you know, lots of good players at the same time. Normally you say that in a golf environment, you've got over 90% of all players never breaking 100. And we did a little study in I think, 1998, and most of the people playing in the Czech Republic break 100.
Why is that?
Well, that's a very good question, which probably leads us to why is golf so popular in here. Because people are playful and they like sports and they like to do it in the nature. So you know, that combines for golf. And at the same time, it's a very good platform for marketing. So all entrepreneurs and all big companies utilize golf as a communications or CRM platform. And that's probably it.
You've been a dancer. You've been a business manager. Golf seems to have been the major decision in your life. Can you foresee any other surprises? Is there anything else that you may still try in the future that may once again change everything and change the paradigm?
When I made those changes, they didn't feel like changes because it gradually went from one thing to another, and it sort of grew logically, time-wise and place-wise and everything. There's no more surprises. Life's too short, and I'm 42 now. I'm going to be 43 soon. There's no time to change anything anymore. This is it.
Even when, say, you're 65.
Well, that's a good thing about it. Golf sort of satisfied my childhood dream of being a good sportsman. I really wanted to win the Olympics, and I wanted to win the World Cup. skiing, and I wanted to win the Wimbledon in tennis, and just like every other kid, I suppose. But obviously, I didn't make it there. So I gave it up when I was 24 or 5. And then all of a sudden, out of a blue sky, when I was 28, I came to a sport where the age doesn't play such an important role, and you still can play well. You know, it gave me a little bit of satisfaction because I was able to finish sixth at the European Championships, which is not great, but for somebody who starts at 28, it's pretty good. You wouldn't be able to do that in any other sport.
It sounds pretty good to me, I have to say. Alan Dubitsky, thank you very much.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Alan Babitsky talking to our reporter Jan Wellinger. And that brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. As always, we are interested in your questions and comments. If you've got them, please share them with us. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and our mailing address is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, we thank you for listening, and we wish you a lovely weekend. Bye for now.